Welcome home to the All Things Coheed podcast. I'm Devin.
And I'm a guy named Rob.
Hee hee, yeah, booty.
All right, guys, so much has happened since the last time you've heard our voices, unless you listened to us right before this, then I guess not much has happened. But anyway, we have a new Coheed and Cambria album out in the world. Coheed and Cambria is about to go on tour.
Things are insane, Devin. This is crazy. I can't believe that this is happening. I mean, we're recording this, on the 29th of June, Wednesday. Okay, so the album's been released. It was released on Friday. Everyone knows. If you're listening to this podcast, you don't know that. Why are you listening to this podcast? You should be listening to this album, okay? And we intend to talk about the tour that's upcoming. We're going to talk about this album. I'm super stoked.
In the meantime, Coheed did do two acoustic shows to kind of hype up the new album. And the first one was at Wilkes-Barre. Pennsylvania show where Claudio and Travis played at a coffee house. There was a little meet and greet, coffee samples, and the set list was Shoulders, Liars Club, and of course, your favorite, Welcome Home. Then they did the release day acoustic show, which was a whole spectacle. There was a book reading, there was signed vinyl, there was a trivia competition won by yours truly, there was a Q&A, and then the set list was Shoulders, Liars Club, and a disappearing act with Claudio playing the piano or the Wurlitzer, if you've been following him on TikTok.
And I believe the release day show was hosted by Nick Nocturnal from YouTube. I don't know if you've seen any of his videos or anything, but he's a fairly entertaining dude. So it was cool to see the two worlds kind of collide.
Absolutely. And the Gun Show was also another host. And it was just so cool to see so much hype happening among the community right there in New York City for the release of Coheed and Cambria's Vax's Act 2, A Window of the Waking Mind.
Yeah, talk about a mouthful. These album titles. We thought Good Apollo was long, but hold your horses. This one is a mouthful, but it's worth it. It's worth every word. Once you hear this album, it's like you can't name it anything else more epic than this because it's so epic.
Absolutely. And speaking of epic, we have probably the biggest headlining tour Coheed has ever done coming our way in like a week and a half at this point. Mothica, Alkaline Trio, not Dance Gavin Dancer, opening, and of course, Coheed. Check the Facebook groups. There are meetups being planned, giveaways happening. And I'm so ready to hear some of these new songs live.
I'm super grooving this new album. And before we move on to merch and before we move on to album discussion and stuff like that, let's talk a little bit about these shows, okay? As far as set list goes, we've heard the album. You've heard the album. Everyone's heard the album. Claudio did make a little mention at the acoustic show where he was asked basically like what songs are you nervous to play live? And he's like, yeah, A Window of the Waking Mind seems like a real tough track to pull off live. It just, I mean, it's so long. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, that's one track I need to see live. I just need to hear it. If you can pull off 2113, you can pull off this track. You can, it'll be fine. Just play it. Make it the new closer, please. And thank you.
They also teased the Running Free on their Facebook page, like adding to summer set list. And I'm all here for it. That was the first Coheed song I had ever heard. I've only seen it live once before. So I kind of hope we get some No World representation kind of hanging off the canceled Never Ender, leading into the new album.
I believe it is time for Devin's favorite segment on the show. Merch Monday, but on a Wednesday. But this is released on a Friday. Devin?
So for Merch Monday on a Friday, we have vinyl, cassettes, CDs, and box sets. For the vinyl, we have your retail Electric Blue. If you were at the release party, you got a signed copy of this variant. Then there's the Indie Sea Blue, the direct-to-consumer Marmalade Glow, the FYE Baby Blue Aqua Swirl, and then the online magazine retailer Orange and Pink. That's kind of making its way out there. If you pre-ordered the Revolver Special Edition, that will be coming to you shortly as well. Then onto cassettes, we have a Tangerine, a blue, and a silver cassette. And then, of course, the box set, which Rob has, I don't have yet. They're making their way out.
And I am so happy it's come to my house. I'm a few chapters in. I am enjoying this box set. It is worth the money. If you can get your hands on one, I highly recommend it. It's so cool. It's just so cool, Devin.
Hey, it's going to be worth the wait. And then there's also just the standard CD. And if you're in the UK, you could order bundles that include a signed card that come with the CD and a cassette, or just the cassettes themselves. If you pre-ordered your box set before the cutoff date, make sure to check out the back of the book inside the Liars Club. Your name should be listed. I found mine through pictures on the internet. I'm actually inside the little Liars Club symbol, which I think is very cool.
The cutoff date was January 23rd, 2022, and that's where you would get your name in the book in a signed COA. If you didn't, if you ordered afterwards, you will just get a COA that is unsigned that you can get signed at a later date, at a show, at a meetup, something like that. So I would hang on to those and get those signed, but check the date that you ordered. Before we get into our album discussion on Baxis 2, A Window of the Waking Mind, we want to remind you guys to go ahead and meet us up on our socials. Our handle everywhere is All Things Coheed, but turn those E's into 3's because that's how we do it. Join us on our Discord where we're talking about the album constantly. And if you want to get into story discussions, we also have those there as well. So please, come hang out with us.
And on that note, Baxis Act 2, A Window of the Waking Mind. We start out with the Embers of Fire. Atlas starts singing along with the Old Flames melody. Then we get some very tribal drums. Kicks in with the dark sense of dirt, the haze in the background. Then about 50 seconds in, we get like a crowing scream. That's what it sounds like to me. I could be very off with that. But then Claudio's vocals kick in. It's very grandiose. The way Claudio hits in flames that last time is pristine. And then it goes right into the next track. But man, what an opener.
Embers of Fire was the perfect thing to get us set up for this album. I mean, you know, coming off the heels of Baxis Act 1, it's familiar. It's something that we, you know, it puts us back in the mindset. It's like this story is continuing on. This is part two of a larger grandiose thing. And it was just so crazy to hear it. It was just insane. The first moment I heard it, I was like, I can't believe they're doing this. I'm a sucker for reprising music. It's just, you know, the theater in me. But God, it was so cool. It was so cool.
And then we go right into Beautiful Losers, and like, this is straight up classic Coheed. Great lyrics, even though I'm not too much of like a lyric person upon my first couple listens.
Great song title too. Ties into our Coheed history, which I thought was so interesting. Like, yes, the track is awesome, but the thing I noticed the most, I'm like, oh, they're doing Beautiful Loser, like old band names. That's really, really interesting.
You can kind of just imagine the sound filling up a stadium with all the COTF around you, and it kind of like plays into what Claudio's been saying about, you know, this is the record that we needed to release 20 years into our career. And going back to, you know, talking about the chorus, it's almost like sea shanty-ish. Delivery of the vocals, the drums are so cool. I feel like there's a little throwback because at 2:14, it's just these Claudio vocals that are very nighttime walkers.
Toxophobias, hook, line, and sinker. Time will bind, time will.
It hits me hard every time I hear it because it's such a different melody in the song out of nowhere. And it just cuts through like a knife that touches the gooey places. It's good. It's a good thing. I really love this.
Easily one of my favorite tracks from the record.
And it sets up the concept of the music itself, like this whole album. Like if you listen to it just musically, I'm not talking about story concept. I mean like concept album. Listening to this album, like, you know it's about time and what that means for, I mean, that's what I've gathered from it.
And then we move on to Comatose. So we released a whole mini-sode on it. I'll keep my thoughts light just in, you know, had to have something to speak on in this capacity. But Josh and Zach, their backs actually need urgent care from carrying this record. Even though every song might not make it into my top 10, they are so much fun to listen to, mainly in part because of them. And again, just watching Josh play this live is going to be a spectacle. The drums in this song are ridiculous.
The galloping drums, just like you were saying, dude. The galloping drums where it's just like, put it up, put it up, put it up. I'm like, oh, dude, you've got me. You've got me, Josh. You really, this is just going to be so fun live. That's all I can think about is how good this is going to be live. Yeah, man, this is a killer track.
And then we bounce into Shoulders. So, you know, we've had Shoulders for about a year now. And, you know, it's still so damn good. It's powerful with its guitar work. There's some great lyrics in there. It didn't really give us too much direction on the album as a whole, which I really liked. It was kind of like a snapshot in time of the story, or the musical story, if you will, you know, referring to what you're saying, talking about everything sonically. Because then you have, you know, the track after Disappearing Act, or even the title track, when we get to that, they sound absolutely nothing like Shoulders, and it really does take you on a journey.
I feel like it kind of mirrors how Unheavenly Creatures felt on Maxis 1, where Unheavenly Creatures feels nothing like the rest of the album, but it's a banger, you know what I mean? It's so different from everything else that it kind of surprises you when you hear the rest of the album. It's like, oh, the rest of this album sounds nothing like this particular track, which I really enjoy it. But I think it's supposed to feel that a little bit jarring.
Exactly. It's done in a way to be different yet unified. And it's one of the more well thought out releases I feel like we've gotten just in music in general. It's so delicately put together. And I think that really goes to show later on in the album. I have a point to bring up about that. But with Disappearing Act, you know, this is arguably the most pop Coheed has gotten. But there's still some heavy elements to it. The chorus is so catchy, and it's reminiscent of like the newer Smashing Pumpkins songs, like The Color of Love and Seer. And then at a minute and 42, there's like this little synth solo that can be a little hard to hear because Claudio's getting intense, but once you hear it, it's like one of those things. You cannot unhear it, and I look forward to it every listen. I just want to use this song also to address the complaints about the vocoder over Claudio's vocals. I think it really fits here. I think it fits really well in these songs. And there's a whole lot of payoff with it, too. Like, this is not to fix his voice, make his voice better. It's just an effect that he's putting on it, like a guitar using a pedal. The payoffs that you get from these will be just immaculate, like at 310. The way he hits that, so good. But this is one I think, you know, if it doesn't get you on your first listen, it might get you on your second.
For sure. You know, it's I'm definitely in that same camp where it's just like, yeah, the first time I listened to it, it was very different. It was very not what I was expecting. But being a Prize Fighter fan, it was exactly what I was expecting, you know. And it definitely feels very City Introvert. But I do think it is an important stepping stone to getting a different sound. They're a progressive band. They're going to progress. They're going to try different things. And as far as the vocoder stuff goes, like, it's the same idea of Travis using a talk box. It's just a different way to play the same instrument. He can play really well, just like Claudia's vocals. I think that the chorus of this song is so strong, and the pre-chorus is super strong. Please and thank you. I am so obsessed with this. You know, going over and over and over, singing the same lines. The song just kind of like, it's like hypnotic almost.
Moving on. The Love Murder one. This one is pretty and funky.
This song is my second favorite on this whole record. I'm sorry, but this song is so good, and I don't understand why no one else is talking about it. I've looked. People are not talking about how good Love Murder 1 is. Someone was just like, yeah, man, you know, Love Murder 1, is whatever. Like, I've heard, like, 3 or 4 of my friends be like that. And I'm like, no, you need to stop. Zach even said it himself. He's like, Love Murder 1 is probably my favorite off the record, and I can see why. This is such a strong chorus and verse, and the musicianship is so funky. It's crazy. Oh my god, the whole verse where it's like, we come to an understanding, let's agree to disagree. So preventing resolutions and all they seem to lack in key. The galloping there it's insane between Zach and Josh. It's insane. So good, and it's such an anthem for, it's just so in defense of yourself, and I'm like, okay, let's go. Like, the whole idea of, we haven't gotten lyrics like this since, like, No World. Nothing has touched me in my heart as deep as these lyrics in a long time. And that means something for Coheed, because they're always pumping out crazy good lyrics. God, I love this song.
At 2:31, we have one of those moments where all the instruments cut out and it's just Claudio singing. Before the band erupts back in, and it's like, oh, those moments are so good.
Blood, gallons of the stuff.
Give them all that they can drink. All right, so this is a good time to promo the fact that Coheed and Cambria and My Chemical Romance are playing
yeah.
City.
Blood, okay, this track is really, really interesting to put in the middle of the record because it's such a heartfelt track. It's the atlas of this album. Like, this is such a father to son song in such a beautiful way. It won't matter to us if you wait. It's sung in such a sweet way, like it's like it's you know, comforting, like if you were trying to comfort a child, and I love that about the song. It's got this softness to it that is that has been missing in Coheed recently, I think. This exaggerated softness to it. And I really enjoy it. I think it's a very solid track on this album.
And it's funny that you say that image of the protector and the child there, because if you go on YouTube to listen to the record, there's little stills, animated stills, of artwork from Vaxxis Act 2, and Blood looks like it's Nostrand holding a baby Vaxxis on his chest. So it's very endearing, and it's definitely emotional, and I love this song. And musically, Coheed has been known to sound like the Police in the past. They've been compared to them. But that arpeggiated sequence in the beginning of the song.
Is there anyone in there?
Is so similar to Every Breath You Take. Then you got Josh killing it on the drums. And then there's like this guitar effect that leads up to the chorus, which just tickles my brain. It's really cool. So far, the album asks a lot of you as the listener to like go in feet first, pull out all of these elements and kind of pick the album apart yourself. Like there's a lot to digest. But once you start doing that and you start to see all these elements line up and how they play into each other, as much as the album asks a lot from you, it's also giving you a lot as well. And this song to me kind of acts as a bridge between Act 1 and Act 2. I just feel like there's really something special about this one.
Which brings us to The Liars Club. This was a track that they revealed at the last tour, right? It feels like it fits more on this record. I feel like that song in particular was a great representation of what we were to hear on the album. As far as the style, as far as the musicianship, it all shines through. I still listen to this track up until the day of release for this album. I'm still spinning it. Like, yes, it was a single, but God, it was a good one.
I think that The Liars Club is improved after the album drop because of its placement on the album. From Love Murder 1 into Blood, we kind of slow things down a little bit. There's no denying that. Not saying that it's bad, but we chill out for a sec. And then Liars Club, it brings you right back in. You get a pop banger to take you on to the later half of the album. I think it's really smart placement. And again, goes back to what we were talking about before. Like, this is an album that is well put together and is such a strong follow-up to Vaxxis Act 1.
Let's talk about Bad Man, okay? This track surprised me in a way I haven't been surprised by Coheed in a while. Because Claudio is snapping on this track. There is a hip-hop undertone to this verse where he's like... It feels very hip-hop inspired. And I think that this track is fairly good. I hear a lot of people saying, oh, it's very Weekend influenced on this album. And I think Bad Man is the best representation of that.
It's interesting. Like, this is my least favorite song on the album. And that being said, it's still an absolute banger of a song. The guitars are crisp. We get Phil Collins on drums. It's actually Josh, but those Phils are in the air tonight. You can't deny that. That gets reprised again in Ladders of Supremacy. That's like a great bridge there. And then acts as a bridge between Coheed eras, in my opinion, because the Call Your Mother is obviously the Vaxxis era, and Good Boy Follows All the Rules is a play on not following the rules in iRobot. And I think that that's just another way that Coheed is showing that after 20 years, they can still bring elements from the past into the present and kind of view them under the lens of a Vaxxas Act II band. And I think they absolutely knocked it out of the park with this album.
Which brings us to Our Love. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. If you missed The Afterman and you missed the sweet, sweet tracks of The Afterman, we have returned. Park, please. Go ahead and tip your waitresses. We're going to be here all night. I love this song so much. The vocals are insanely good on this album. I mean, absolutely insanely good on this album. You have this really beautiful harmony at God, it's so good. I could do the whole song. I could read the lyrics of this, and it's just beautiful. It's just pure love, and I love this track so much. It means a lot to me, and I am so happy it exists. Devin?
No, it's such a sweet love song, and it's followed by arguably the darkest song on the record, but it kind of acts like the fall of the House Atlantic, bringing you to the close of the album, but this song is so much more than just a banging instrumental. It's arguably one of my favorite love songs from Claudio.
Oh, my favorite lyric. I have to mention my favorite lyric in the song because it's so good. I'll be your guide when you want to get lost. I'll be the sword at your side, it all costs. That is such a beautiful lyric and a great, it's such a great metaphor. I just love it. Thank you so much, Coheed and Cambria. Thank you again. Keep making things like this. This is good.
And then we shift. Oh, how we shift. Into the last three songs of the album, starting with Ladders of Supremacy.
What an intro, first, okay? The intro to this song is like, I don't know, like 2 minutes, something like that. It is crazy. It is so Dark Sentencer. When you listen to this, it's so Dark Sentencer. And I believe Claudio said in the interview in his... I don't remember if it was Revolver Mag or who did it, but the magazine that did behind the scenes and did interviews with the band regarding this album mentioned that Ladders of Supremacy was originally supposed to be the Dark Sentencer part. Like, it was supposed to be Dark Sentencer opening, but the lyrics didn't fit. And you can definitely feel that. It's really something. The lyrics of the song are amazing. And the vocals on this song are amazing. Yes, the musicianship, which Devin will dive deep into it. But the vocals are so good. Super high note where right during the chorus. So how we gonna handle these? When the
the way Claudio hits Stay. Oh. Oh. Filthy. Absolutely filthy.
Come on, man. This song bucks.
It sounds like a Dark Sentencer, but it also sounds like the audience, and it also sounds like the Willing Wells. You know, the guitars play so well with each other. It takes a gnarly turn, and the textures from the toms make you feel like you're floating through space. The synth and the hi-hat with whole notes coming from the bass give a sense of urgency. Zach's flair, it's another chef's kiss. Man, this song is elite.
The lyrics, we're reprising lyrics now. It's the motifs galore in this song. Later on in the song, you have...
Oh.
And it's also in the book if you read it. It's very interesting that they include this lyric multiple times in multiple songs. And then they have this really, really like staccato vocal that is interesting. They could have done anything. They could have done anything.
Yeah, those triplets on the guitar that bring us into that straight jam there, that is very Afterman era. By the ending of the song, you're just like, how did I survive this? You know, so many just powerful Coheed moments in one song, and then it fades out and fades directly into Rise Nyanasha, Cut the Cord. That transition is so sick, dude. It's so sick.
Dude, they've shown their aptitude at transferring tracks from one another. But I don't think anything has felt as good because we knew what Rise sounded like. And I was not expecting it to open that way. It's so good.
But we talked about it on our mini, you know, we were like, it sounds like it could be coming in from another song. And then, you know, there was like a different version of it where it didn't have that lead into the track. So it was, did it lead into, did it come from something? But I mean, I'm so happy that the songs flew into each other the way they did. It is truly a 1-2 punch. And Rise being in my top 10 Coheed songs overall is elevated coming from Ladders of Supremacy. This is like the Willing Wells, dude.
Speaking of the Willing Wells, I believe it is time to talk about Window of the Waking Mind. There are 6 named sections, and the first section we're to go with is Time. The opening of Window of the Waking Mind is, it felt like I was listening to something I shouldn't have been. It felt like I was peering into something that I didn't deserve. Because it opens. It's this bleeding heart openness that I was not expecting. Time is the first part, and it's so good. Devin, thoughts on Time?
Rob, I know that you love Broadway. I love Broadway. You love Coheed. I love Coheed. And then we get this track. And it just transports you. And like you said, it felt illegal to listen to. It felt wrong because it starts out so good and you just know you're in for something crazy by the way that the incredibly beautiful acoustic guitars has the electric guitar layering behind it, and then the acoustic guitar shifts tones.
You have this flamenco guitar sound during the awakening, and we have Baxis returning for the first time since the opening track of Baxis at 1.
Unravel the entangled threads of
this was so jarring to hear his voice, because I wasn't expecting it. I was not expecting that at all, because I thought it would happen in the opening track. It didn't. And I thought, oh, you know, Vax is growing up. But then again, he wasn't even in Act 1, so what do I know? But it was so interesting to hear that.
Absolutely. And then I love the way that the quarter note kicks come in at 2 minutes and 19 seconds, and then one of the most incredible parts of a Coheed song we've ever got. The band just comes together to kill it.
The next part of the track after Vax speaks is called Part 3, Birth. This particular area of the track is probably my favorite, to be completely honest. It's so different from what sounds like Coheed, but it's pleading, it's begging, like the vocals are just shredding themselves. And then it goes into Part 4, The Mirroring Eyes, and we hear Claudio's voice. Devin?
Oh, man, this shift with the woodwind instruments, which drop and take you back into the darkness of the song, it's incredible. It's so good. It's so smart.
Are you in there safe and sound? Tell us what you need so we can help you. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do.
And then, you know, at 4:21, it shifts again. The heart-wrenching piano with rising synth sounds like The Who's Tommy.
I'm saving that for my final notes, because there's so much to talk about with that, to be completely, which takes us to Part 5, The Mother. It's like, oh, dude, you're pulling at my heartstrings.
Oh, my gosh. That piano portion there sounds like On the Dark Side from Eddie and the Cruisers. The dark side's called a lot of the misery. And we stay jamming, man. This is probably the most straightforward part of the song, but right as you get comfortable, Coheed shakes it up another time.
Of course they do. Part 6, The Father. It's so different. It feels like the Dorian Gray musical, if I'm being completely honest. It just comes out of nowhere. It feels like this is it. This is what everything's been swelling up to. And it's comforting. It's like the father comforting. And it feels so upbeat. It feels so happy.
It's just straight show tunes, man. It's incredible. Like, you can visualize the entire stage production. It's one of the most unique things Coheed has attempted, and it pays off. Then to close the record with this grand orchestral movement that ties in the melodies that have been all throughout Vax's Act 1, all throughout Vax's Act 2. It's insane. This is a ridiculous closer. Probably the best closer they've had.
And that closes out our album. the credits on the album: Claudio Sanchez on vocals, guitar, piano, and synths; Travis Siever on guitar; Zach Cooper on bass; Josh Embers on drums. Managed by Blaze James. We have it produced by Claudio Sanchez and Zach Cervini. Mixed by Zach Cervini at MDDN Studios, North Hollywood, California. Recorded by Cody Cambria and Zach Cervini. Engineer, editing, mix assistant, Nick Trekov. Engineer and editing, John London. Drums recorded at Steakhouse, North Hollywood, California. Except Comatose, which was recorded by Sean Paul Pillsworth at Leaning Tree. The drum tech is Sam Gamble. And mastered by Chris Affleck. Guest vocal on The Embers of Fire by Atlas Hendrix Sanchez. Orchestral arrangements and orchestral tracks by Christopher Janke. Orchestral programming engineers Taylor J. Williams. All songs written by Claudio Sanchez. Published by the Bag Online Adventures SCSAC BMG. Wow. This album, dude. Okay, I'm getting into final thoughts. I'm closing my book that I'm holding in my hands. Eat shit, Devin. I need to get into this because this whole album, like, it strikes such an important note in me for the whole of Coheed. When I think about the album itself, it's so strong. It's so strong comparatively. The Embers of Fire feels like our first, our beginning track that we haven't had in a while. Like, I don't know. It feels like the old ones. It feels like the big three. It feels like In Keeping Secrets, Second Stage, Good Apollo era opening tracks. And The Reaping was the first one we had with vocals for a while. But the opening tracks on those three albums were just so orchestral and interesting and moved. And The Embers of Fire does the same. I think that my favorite track from this record, I'm sorry, I have to say it, you can sue me all you want, but Window of the Waking Mind means something to me. That track I will spin for like the next 20 years because it's so interesting and amazing and I love it and I want to see it live and I don't know how that's going to work. I'm a huge fan of The Who's Tommy. The Who's Tommy was an important record for me in my younger days. I watched the movie, unfortunately, as well. But the album itself is important. And there are a lot of the same tones, even the same story beats, if we're being completely honest. Claudio going up and saying, Baxis, can you see with your eyes? Can you hear with your ears? Reminds me so much of Tommy, where he had the exact same affliction. You can't help but notice this. Doctors, the idea of doctors and diagnostic leads, those things are established in Tommy as well. You can't help but draw the comparisons story-wise. You can't help but draw the comparisons musically because Tommy did eventually become a Broadway musical as well. It's toured a bunch, but it has this sing-songy quality where it's like, yeah, you can go and listen to Pinball Wizard all you want, but then you have like Sally Simpson's song, and it's Sally's like, it's like a Broadway track where it's telling a story front to back. And it's the same thing for this album. Like, yes, you can have a crazy, you know, hard track like Bad Man, but then you can also have a very Broadway track like Window of the Waking Mind, where it moves and it reprises songs and does the Broadway thing. As a whole, I think the idea was to rank it among the other albums in their discography. This is a big four album for me. I would say this is in the four spot. I fucking love this album. I don't know what else there is to say. I've been listening to it nonstop. This album is so good. It's new Coheed. If Coheed continues in this direction, if we get Acts 3, 4, and 5, I will be nothing but pleased. Devin?
So, you know, to follow up your album ranking, this one is 5 for me. This is the midway point in between all of their releases, but I'm definitely saying that it is better than Vax's Act One, in my opinion. It is an insane follow-up. My favorite songs, obviously Rise is one of my favorite songs of Coheed in general, but Blood, Beautiful Losers, Window of the Waking Mind, those are songs you just cannot ignore, at least to me. And live, it would be crazy to hear a Window of the Waking Mind live, absolutely. But I really think that Beautiful Losers would be very powerful live, especially surrounded by a whole bunch of friends. But Rob, we're not done here, because on my vinyl box that I had the FYE Aqua Baby Blue variant shipped in, I have written down the results of our listeners and their response to the albums and what their favorite songs were. In last place, we have Blood with 4 votes.
Makes sense.
Right, which is like,
I get that too.
Then in tying for the next spot, we have Embers and Comatose. They tied.
People, you know, I think it's the single thing. People just spun the singles like crazy, and now that they have so much more to ingest, I'm sure they're looking at the other tracks.
Okay, to actually go back, I missed one. Shoulders was also tied with Blood. Those two were in last place.
Yeah, so, like I said.
Yeah, it's a singles thing, you know. So Shoulders and Blood in last place, Embers of Fire and Comatose in second to last place. Moving on, The Liars Club with 7 votes.
The singles.
And Rise Nyanasha.
The singles.
Votes. So, yes, the singles. The singles curse, we can call it, what have you. The next song is Our Love. Then next we have Beautiful Losers and Disappearing Act. They have tied.
Interesting. I'm so surprised that the second half of this album is all the way at the top. Who could have guessed?
Then we have Love Murder 1 in 4th place.
You know, I'll respect it for now, but that song deserves way better already. That is my new All on Fire, is Love Murder 1. Love Murder 1 is going to be an underrated track, and I'm calling it right now. Then.
In 3rd place, Bad Man. In 2nd place, we have A Window of the Waking Mind.
This is rigged. I hate this whole thing, and I'm quit. If A Window of the Waking Mind is number 1, how many votes, Devin?
So,
do you know?
So then, okay, so let's finish this out. Ladders of Supremacy is number 1 with 25 votes. A Window of the Waking Mind only got 17. So almost a whole 10 points. 10 people.
Ladders is great. Ladders is a really, really cool track. And I do want to hear it live. And I think it deserves to be up there. Honestly, I would see it at the number 2 spot and feel comfortable. But God, A Window of the Waking Mind is just, it has everything. And yes, it's the cop-out answer. It has everything in that track that you want.
Overall, it's new Coheed. It's exciting. I really love the record. It's been such a great time getting hype with everybody and experiencing all of the happenings with everyone in person and online. It's great to like finally have something this exciting to have to listen to every day. You know, instead of listening to the singles on repeat 24/7, now I get to listen to the album 24/7. And I think that's kind of the phase that everyone's in right now. Everyone's just blasting the fuck out of this record. I cannot wait for the story to come in on my end. I've been reading it through people posting pictures online and through the book readings that we've got from Chandra thus far. And so far, we're just putting together a really epic story, better than Act 1, in my opinion, so far. And I thought Act 1 was just the pinnacle of their storytelling. And the fact that it's only getting better and more interesting is so surprising to me. I can't wait to see what happens and where this goes, and I know you guys are too. So again, Coheed and Cambria, A Window of the Waking Mind, out now, on tour this summer. Tour starts so soon. I will be at Miami, Tampa, Philly, and New York. Hope to see you guys there. Make sure you check out all of our social medias, all things Coheed, but turn those E's into 3's, because that's how we do it.
Wow, Devin, you really covered it all. I'm so happy we did this today. I love this album. And I think this has been another episode of the All Things Coheed podcast. I'm a guy named Rob.
And I'm a guy named Devin. Thanks for joining us. Well, I'm going to stop recording and get this thing going so I can clip and shit it. Perfect.
Yeah. Okay, go.
All right.
Well, wait, what are we at? What were we talking about first, actually? Are we just going to go through
Mentor? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll intro the episode, or do you want to intro the episode?
You can do an intro because you're a sweet boy.
Oh, I'm thinking.
Is it one episode? This was for January 23rd, 2021. If you ordered before that date, you will get your name in the book and a signed COA. So if you get a COA, I'm sorry?
2022.
Yes. They put 2021 in the.
Oh, shit. All right. Do you want to just run it back?
Yeah.
I can just edit that in, you know?
Sure.
I would not be mad if there was more Cooper era tracks, though. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I bet you wouldn't mind that at all, would you, Devin? Mr. Color Before the Sun. I'm sure you wouldn't mind that at all. Before we get into the episode, sorry, let me get it right. Hey, Devin.
Hey.
I want to do something weird with our podcast.
I think it's time that we can start jumping into our album discussion here. And
wait, when does this come out?
Friday.
Cool. The new Deer Hunter album is available. Antimai, go listen to it. Wow. Friend of the show, Casey Crescenzo. We got a show for our friends.
Anyway.
Sorry, Devin, your thoughts. Where's mine? I want kisses. Devin, give me smoochies. He goes,
Hey, I'm Devin. I'm eating pizza. What do you want, Alyssa? Oh, okay. That's cool.
No, you're absolutely right. I almost got real Southern. You're absolutely right.
You're absolutely right, brother. Hell yeah, brother. We got to have a little bit for the bloopers, dude. Thank you.
We do. But no, for real.